Well, we've been working through a series in our morning services on the kingdom come, your kingdom come. I remind you that when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the first thing he does is he reminds them about the importance of worship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then the very next thing he encourages us to pray is your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we often forget just how significant this is. Your kingdom come. We've been looking at it over a number of weeks now. This is our fifth session in the subject. And this morning I want to look at the aspect of the spreading of the kingdom. How does the kingdom get spread? This week, as we are involved with the holiday club, this is part of the task of spreading the kingdom. We're wanting to make the kingdom known in the community in which we're living in. And so that's why an important week, one of the few weeks that we take real effort to reach into the community around us. It's a long passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 13. There are a number of parables, but I want to focus on two of them in this passage. Two parables relating to planting, spreading the word, spreading the seeds. Let me read for us. That same day Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the same sun came up, the plants were scorched. They withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still others fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what had been sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the kingdom, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts became calloused. They hardly heard with their ears, and they closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might have seen with their eyes, heard with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because you hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since it has no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he falls away quickly. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and this deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Then another one about parable about sowing seed. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he was sleeping, the enemy came up and sowed weeds among the wheat went away. When the weeds sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you were pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn." Then the parable of the weeds explained. Then he left the crowd and went to the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out the kingdom of anything that causes sin and all who do evil. Then they will throw them into a fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear." The spreading of the kingdom. There are not many parables that are explained by Jesus, these two. It's incredibly significant that Jesus explains the parables. The meaning of the parables are often very hidden. You don't fully understand them. But this is early in the teaching of Jesus, and Jesus is trying to tell his disciples or teach his disciples how to understand parables and how to interpret them at a later stage. So he interprets these. We don't need to guess a lot as to what the meanings of these particular parables are, because Jesus tells us what the meaning is. A lot of people want to add a lot of speculation as to who these things are, but friends, it's there for us. So what's the point of these parables? The point for me in these parables, friends, is that they are telling us about how the kingdom is spread and how the devil is trying to prevent the spreading of the kingdom. It's really a message about that. So first of all, we learn that the kingdom of God is spread randomly. It says in the first parable, the seeds go all over the place, on the fields, on the rocks, amongst the weeds, on the path. It just goes all over the place. There's not really this particular farmer, he doesn't particularly worry as to where the seed is going, friends. He wants the seed to be spread. In the second parable of the weeds, when the disciples asked Jesus, to explain it, Jesus says to him, "The seed is sown in the world." It's not just the field, is the world, friends. It's everywhere and anywhere. It's not just a little place. And friends, the point that we're trying to get to, Jesus is trying to get to, is that when we talk about the spreading of the kingdom, it shouldn't only be limited to those of our friends that we like. It shouldn't be limited to those who come to church. It shouldn't be limited only to Christian countries. Friends, the point Jesus is making in these two parables is that the kingdom is wherever God wants to go. It all belongs to Him. We shouldn't be focusing all of our attention just on a few little people. Friends, God wants us to spread the kingdom wherever we go. And this is one of the points that one of the main points in this book that has prompted me to preach on this series at this time. I've been so eagerly anticipating, wanting to make this point. Friends, we want to make a difference, not only in Bethany Emmanuel. While that is important for me, I want us to make a difference in King Williamstown. I want us to make a difference in the Eastern Cape. I want us to make a difference in South Africa. I want us to make a difference in Africa. I want us to make a difference in this world. So friends, everything we do must be about spreading the kingdom of God. Now, friends, what does that mean? Like I said previously, whenever you do something in the name of Christ, you are spreading the kingdom of God. That's really what it's all about. It's not only about preaching the gospel, but that's vitally important. Don't misunderstand me. Friends, it's about anything we do that makes people turn towards God and worship God for who He is. That's really the key. That's what I want us to be focusing on. We must be spreading our vision. We must be spreading our desire to make a difference. In this week ahead of us, you know, we're very eager to make a difference in King Williamstown. We're having children from all the churches of King Williamstown who will join us in this week. Are we bothered whether they come to Bethany Emmanuel? I'm not bothered. Doesn't worry me. I don't mind if they come and go back to the church from which they come from. For those who may not have a church, I would love them to be part of Bethany Emmanuel. But friends, it doesn't bother me. We must be eager to make sure that we're spreading the gospel and the kingdom of God wherever we go. That's the point Jesus is trying to make. As He spreads the gospel, it goes all over the place. As He spreads the kingdom of God, it goes all over this world. And we must do the same, friends. We mustn't be limited to what? Just to the people who we want to kind of be friends with. But notice the second part of this point is the kingdom of the evil one. The kingdom of the evil one is spread by what I've called robbery and replication. In the first one, parable, the devil steals the seed. The devil can't do anything good, friends. The devil can't make a difference. The devil can't bring health and holiness. So what does he do? The way he spreads his seed is by taking away from the kingdom of God. He steals the seed out of people's hearts. He steals the seed as it's planted. He steals the seed by making people worry about things they shouldn't have to, they shouldn't be worrying about. Why do we worry about money? My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Why do we worry about possessions? It doesn't belong to me. At the end of the time when I die, it's all going to go to somebody else in any case. Doesn't belong to me. I'm just a shepherd of it while I have it here on earth. It all belongs to God in any case. But friends, Satan is very clever. He robs us of our peace and our joy. He robs us of being part of the kingdom by taking what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives and stealing our joy away, stealing our peace away, stealing our possibility of us being part of the kingdom away. In the second parable, the best he can do is try and that lovely Afrikaans word, na'ap. I think we used it a little while ago. Kind of trying to, you know, imitate Jesus. But friends, all he can do is spread destruction. All he can do is spread weeds that have no purpose in life other than to cause frustration. Friends, that's what the devil does. The devil, we're reminded in John 10:10, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the kingdom of the evil one. The kingdom of the evil one is spread by robbery and reproduction. Replication. He wants he can't do anything that's not creative. The devil can't create anything, friends. Only God can create. But the devil replicates. If you remember the story of Moses, when he was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, when he did a miracle, the followers or the evil followers or the evil priests of Egypt replicated the miracles he did. They couldn't do it themselves. They needed something to follow. And the devil is the same, friends. The devil is throwing out a seed. It seems very pretty at the start, but in the end, it's destructive. It's only the seed of the Son of Man that produces a crop. Only the seed that the Son of Man plants that is worthwhile in the end. The rest of it is useless. Secondly, the kingdom of God is spread mysteriously. When Jesus tries to explain to the disciples about the spreading of the kingdom, it says in verse 10, his disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The kingdom of the secrets of the kingdom, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but not to them." The translation of that word secret in the NIV is unfortunate, because the Greek word there is the word mysterion, from which we get our word mystery. It's a mystery. It's not a secret. God isn't hiding it away. It's just mysterious. A secret is when you kind of keep something hidden from somebody else, but a mystery is like a good novel. As you're reading through that novel, in the end you discover what the truth of it is all about. That's the mystery, the mysterion. And friends, the kingdom of God is done in the same way. We learn that the extension of the kingdom of God is a mystery that can be solved. It's not a secret that's hidden from everybody, that nobody knows except the Father. There are things that only the Father knows. But this is a mystery. And God wants to reveal that mystery to us. And we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, it says this, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Many of you were not wise by human standards, nor many were influential, nor many were of noble birth. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of this world to shame the strong." Friends, it's possible for us to know what the mystery is. And what's the mystery of the kingdom of God? Yes, the mystery. The mystery is unlocked with a key. And the key to the mystery of the kingdom of God is Jesus himself. Listen to what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. "To them God has chosen to make known amongst the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." There's the mystery. The disciples didn't understand it at this point in time. It was still a mystery to them. They hadn't quite grasped who Jesus was. They were still trying to understand that. And Jesus is trying to give them a little bit of a picture of who this is. In fact, in the second parable, the parable of the weeds, Jesus kind of makes it very clear to them. The one who sows the wheat is the Son of Man. He says that very clear to them over there. Pity they didn't pick it up at that point in time. It was only later on, after God gave them the Holy Spirit, that they were fully able to understand this great mystery. And friends, that's the joy that we have. We can understand the mystery because we have the Holy Spirit in us. Friends, God has revealed Himself to us. God has made Himself known to us. It's not a secret. God wants us to know who He is. God wants us to see who He is. God wants to reveal Himself as the key to the mystery. But the kingdom of the evil one, the kingdom of the evil one is not a mystery, friends. The kingdom of the evil one is not spread mysteriously. The kingdom of the evil one is spread deceitfully. The devil, friends, is trying underhandedly to rob people of their joy. Listen to what it says in that parable. While everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed wheat amongst the weeds. Weeds amongst the wheat. Friends, Satan does his work in the dark. Satan is always ready to destroy. Satan is eager to do things in darkness because he's doing the things deceitfully. He does it under cover of darkness, behind closed doors, friends. Listen to what it says, John 3 verse 19. This is the verdict Jesus was saying about himself. Light has come into the world, but men love the darkness instead of the light because their deeds are evil. Romans chapter 13 reminds us, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Ephesians 5 verse 11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Friends, Satan does things deceitfully. Satan's not going to, you know, kind of attract you and you know, he's going to do things in such a way, he's going to present his kingdom as something which is wonderful. Sometimes he masquerades himself as the angel of light, friends. But the end of following the kingdom of the evil one, friends, is destruction. And that's what we're going to see at the end of this message. Fifthly, the third major point is the kingdom of God is spread victoriously. Listen to what it says in verse 12. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Verse 16 says, blessed are your eyes because you have seen, and your ears because you have heard. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Friends, verse 17 points us to the fact that many people who even wrote the scriptures didn't understand what the fact that they were pointing to Jesus. But I love this last verse in this parable. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. What a victorious moment. The righteous are going to shine like the sun. Friends, that's you and I. You and I are going to be those that are part of the kingdom of heaven. It's going to be a victorious moment. We're going to declare victory wherever we go. Many people are often wondered, what did Jesus do when he died? What happened to Jesus? Was he in the grave there for 3 days? Did he go there and hide away there and only 3 days later appear again? I don't believe so. I believe Jesus, friends, when he died, won the victory instantaneously. And the thing that he did was, he went to declare the victory over the evil one. It says he went down into the depths. He didn't go into hell, friends. He didn't need to go into hell. Friends, he went there to show the victorious side of who he was. Hell could see him. Hell could know who he was. But friends, Jesus declared the victory on the cross. And you and I are part of that kingdom. The kingdom of God, friends, is the kingdom that is victorious. The kingdom of God is the kingdom that will rule and reign for all of eternity. And you and I are going to be part of that. But there's another kingdom. If you choose not to follow the kingdom of God, it says the kingdom of the evil one is spread destructively. Look what it says about the spreading of the weeds. The farmer said, let them grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned. Verse 38 expands on that. It says, the weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. Then they will throw them in the fiery furnace. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, I don't know what kingdom you want to be part of. I want to be part of the kingdom of God. I want to be part of the kingdom of God that goes into this world and makes a difference. I don't want to be the person who sucks out of this world all of this time. There are too many takers in this world, friends. We're living in a society when all people want to do is take, 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 take all the time. Friends, we as the Christian church need to be the organization that makes the difference. We must be the one who gives. Who gives. Who gives all the time, friends. It's the devil who steals. We must be givers. We must give of the kingdom. We must give of ourselves. We must make a difference in the world. Friends, when we do that, then the mystery of the kingdom will be revealed. As people look at us, they'll wonder, who are these people? They're so different. They're so different from the world around us. Friends, God wants to do that in and through us. As we make a difference, friends, the world will wonder, who are these people? God's kingdom will be revealed. And in the end, victory. Victory will know victory. Because Jesus, friends, has won the victory. And we will celebrate that with him. And Satan will fall. And there'll be no more to him. What kingdom do you want to be a part of? Are you spreading the kingdom of God? Or are you spreading the kingdom of the evil one? You are spreading one of them. Just know that. You are spreading a seed. Which one will you spread? Let's pray together. Lord, help us to spread your kingdom. Help us to make a difference for you, Lord. Help us to lift your name up. Help us to pray that prayer, Lord, but not only pray it, live it. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's join our hearts together as we sing our final song together.